In this age of instant gratification, it's tough to have to wait months for your flowers to grow up before they can bloom. Farmers understand this. They sow seeds in the spring and reap crops in the fall. In the same way, we may sin and not see immediate consequences. But be certain, the consequences will come, just as surely as the corn gets 8 feet tall. Stay with us. From Chicago's Moody Church, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer is continuing his series on what happens after you've blown it. He's teaching us about God's methods of disciplining those of his children who sin repeatedly.
Isn't it interesting that in verse 1 of chapter 11, it says in the book of 1 Kings, Solomon loved many estranged women. God was displeased with him. And you go on in the chapter and it says, and so God raised up adversaries against Solomon. God was saying, Solomon, I'm going to bring difficulties into your life so that you might know that you're going down the wrong path. Even in the New Testament, the Apostle Paul, you remember he was given a thorn in the flesh. Some people think that that's proof that Paul must have been married, but he was given a thorn in the flesh. Because God says, I've given you revelations, and lest you exalt yourself above measure, lest you fall into the temptation of pride, he says, I'm going to give you a thorn in the flesh to keep you humble. You know what God does? And I'm speaking now to believers for a moment. What God does is he brings roadblocks into our lives when we are disobedient. He does that. And you and I have seen believers who've disregarded all of the roadblocks, who have knocked down one roadblock after another, after another, after another, as they've wandered away from God, and they become increasingly entangled, and they can't figure it out that God is getting their attention. It is the Father who's disciplining them for their disobedience. Now, that doesn't mean that everyone who has adversaries, everyone who has a thorn in the flesh, it's because of some specific sin. That's not the case. But when we have difficulties, we should look long and hard into our hearts and say, God, is there something within me that you're trying to get my attention about? Now with that, what I'd like us to do is to move on to another passage of Scripture right here in the book of Galatians, where Paul is going to talk about the consequences even of sins that have been forgiven. Because forgiveness is one thing, but some of the consequences continue. And Paul is going to give us now another way in which God disciplines his children. It is through the laws of sowing and reaping. You'll notice in chapter 6, he says in verse 6, anyone who receives instruction in the word must share all good things with his instructor. He may be talking even about financial gifts to the teachers of that day. And then verse 7. Very solemn verses. My message today is a warning. Do not be deceived. God cannot be mocked. A man reaps what he sows. The one who sows to please his sinful nature, from that nature will reap destruction. The one who sows to please the Spirit, from the Spirit he will reap eternal life. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Some of you in a previous context have heard me give the laws of sowing and reaping, and I would like to just review them today, and then we'll draw some applications and explain why this message should change us forever. That's the agenda in the next 15 or 20 minutes. Don't look at your watch to see whether I stay within those limits. The first law of sowing and reaping is we reap what we sow. You sow onions and you don't get bananas. And what he says is if we sow to the sinful nature, by the television programs we see, by the movies that we watch, by the materialism and the greed that is in our hearts, by the dishonesty with which we conduct our business, we sow to the sinful nature, we receive what we sow. We receive more sensuality, we receive more love of materialism. The effect goes on in the lives of our children, and on it goes. We sow anger over here, and we reap greater anger over here, because we sow what we reap. But if we sow to the Spirit, if we're involved in the disciplines of the Christian life, if we sow the seeds of meditation in the Scriptures, the seeds of prayer and worship, and we sow the important seed of church attendance, because it's here, you see, where we connect with the body that the choir has just sung about. And it's here that we develop relationships, and it's here that our faith is strengthened. If we plant these seeds, we will reap the benefits of righteousness and wholeness. And so the first law of sowing and reaping is that you reap what you sow. The only person who doesn't reap what he sows is the amateur gardener, who probably reaps something else. But there is a law that what you sow, you reap. There's a second law, and that is that we reap in a different season than we sow. We reap in a different season than we sow. When I was growing up, we had lots of room for gardens. In fact, my mother had a big garden, and we as children all had our own small gardens. And we would plant corn and onions probably and peas and a few other things. And then we as kids would run out every day to see whether or not there were any peas or carrots or corn. In fact, we watered it so much, I remember watering my garden so much every single day that pretty soon all of the seeds began to wash away. But what I was expecting was an immediate harvest. Planted one day, should be there corn the next. No, that's not the way it is. You reap in a different season than you sow. There's a time to plant and there's a time to harvest, and those two opportunities do not happen at the same time. When I was growing up, I had a couple of friends, and I remember one who used to steal candy and gum from the store. I remember even going to church with him, and he would pull out some gum and candy and say, "Look at what I just stole." This was a Sunday school kid. Isn't it interesting that a little later on he stole clothing, and a little later on he stole a car with some of his buddies, and as a result of that he ended up in jail? Why? He began to sow over here in one season when it seemed as if his seeds were very controllable. After all, stealing some gum and candy is a pretty small thing. But because those seeds began to grow, and the tree began to sink in its roots, he ended up reaping over here something quite terrible. I'm not sure what he ended up doing after that. Who knows? Maybe the next would be a bank robbery. Because you don't sow in the same season that you reap. It takes time. There are consequences. The Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 8, "Those who sow wickedness reap trouble." But if you sow to the Spirit, and now I want to speak to all of you who are in children's ministries here at Moody Church or elsewhere. This is so important. You don't reap in the same season that you sow. Sowing with children is very difficult work, isn't it? There are some of those kids, those brats, you just like to take the Board of Education and apply it to the seat of learning. You know the feeling. But I want you to know today that some of the most unruly, impossible children have turned out to be some of the most wonderful Christians, mightily used of God. But you don't see that, do you? That's why I believe that the verse here, verse 9, was actually written for Sunday school teachers, for kids club workers, for camp counselors. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Don't give up. The little boy or the little girl whose life you are touching, only God knows the potential of that child who is now irritating you to death. Or close. The scripture says, those who sow in tears will reap with songs of joy. He who goes out weeping, carrying precious seed, will return rejoicing, carrying his sheaves with him. We don't reap in the same season that we sow. Keep sowing good seed. You will reap a harvest. There's a third law. And that is that we always reap more than we sow. We reap more than we sow. I remember my father going out into a field of grain, and he would take stalks of grain in the fall before harvest, rub them in his hand, and count the kernels. Because he knew that if indeed each stalk was planted by one grain, if there would be 30 kernels in his hand, he could expect maybe 30 bushels to an acre, because he planted, you know, one bushel per acre. So now he would have 30. And that's the way it is. If you sow to the flesh, you reap more than you sow. This is Pastor Lutzer. These laws of sowing and reaping are vitally important, not just for us, but for our children. I would encourage you, if you are a parent, to introduce your children to these laws, because oftentimes it is in our youth when we sow seed. Some people talk about sowing wild oats. Well, there's more to that than simply an expression. There are decisions that young people oftentimes make with bitter, bitter future consequences. And they are reaping what they have sown. How much better it is for us to make sure that we sow to the Spirit. You know, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians, or rather 2 Corinthians, I should say, even says that when we sow habits of righteousness, it is then that God blesses us in material matters. There is such a close connection between the way in which we live, the decisions that we make, and the implications of these decisions. Well, as I'm going to be pointing out tomorrow, we can't change today's crop, but we can change tomorrow's crop. And we can do that by sowing the right seeds today. So, my dear friend, from my heart to yours, let's pull out all the weeds from the garden and let us plant those seeds that are going to bear fruit for all of eternity. That's your challenge, and that's my challenge as well.
Thank you, Dr. Lutzer. That was Dr. Erwin Lutzer with part two of So You've Done It Again, the fourth of six messages on After You've Blown It, Reconnecting with God and Others. Tomorrow, tune in to learn how to pull out the weeds and sow the right kind of seeds. Running to Win comes to you from Chicago's Moody Church to help you understand God's roadmap for your race of life. This current series can be yours on CD, cassette, or MP3. Also, it's in print as a Multnomah Life Change book. For full information, call toll-free at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. When you call, ask about the series After You've Blown It. For information on other ministry resources, go to our website at runningtowin.org. And please don't forget, this broadcast is supported by listeners like you. This is Dave McAllister. Do you want to get off the roller coaster of repeated sins? If so, join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.